go to the back over there, then I'll put that, please.
Yes, to speak of increasing productivity in this time, I'd like to know what the new water prices are going to be, and how, as part of the government in this session, and the laws of competition, were absolutely, valid in terms of that kind of an argument. The other side of the argument was, could the society afford to let Chrysler go down the drain? And only on the latter basis, was the Chrysler bill passed. I voted for it, because I believed the latter. Now, I would have preferred an agency in government, like the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, which could, on an institutional basis, pick up those problems, perhaps long before the Chrysler problem surfaced. But we don't have any such thing, the very little body, nothing. But in the final analysis, I was persuaded, as was the majority of the time, that the public interest in keeping Chrysler operating was greater than the private interest in letting it go down the drain because it was not a well outcome. And those are ad hoc decisions, which I think have to be made only on a case like this. I wish they were institutionalized.
Yes, please.
Senator Javits, Great Britain has liberalized their depreciation laws so that all plant equipment expenditures are expensed there, and that has not been thought to be very successful. Why do you think yours would be quicker?
I don't know the nature of what the British started with, but I rather think that they started with far more obsolescence. Nor do I know the details, what the Britain's plan was. But I believe with us, it's very plain that we have modified our plan to put it in the lockdown. It's something very serious. Now, I wouldn't tell you that is the only problem. I believe, for example, talking about competition, that the antitrust laws are very problematic. I think the antitrust laws in the United States are completely obsolescent. The so-called rule of reason, and that there should continue to be reasonable competition. Right now, we're working against the little guy. General Motors is not subject to the rule of reason, nor is IBM. I'm not talking even about the regulated industry like the telephone company, it's simply about competitive. And they're not touched by the antitrust. So you can sue them until the cows come home. But they unitary enterprise, and they survive all these things. Take 10 guys who have men's furnishing stores in this neighborhood, and if they try to combine, to even deal with sizes and colors, or the days they're open and the days they're closed, they're violating the antitrust law. And as a broad concept, that France and Britain and Germany and Japan, they can have all the cartels they want, perfectly permissible. But the U.S. company, oh no, they dare not get into one. So they're skinned alive in the foreign competition. Now, that's a big factor. But so I cannot opine, you know, why the British experience is not relevant, because I'm unaware, as I say, of the points of distinction between where they start from and where we start.
When you made your call for a tax cut now, conspicuous by its absence was a call for a cut in government spending now. We also know that large government deficits in the government only spur inflation to higher levels. I hope you didn't have in mind creating a highly inflationary business environment.
where, and at whose expense, and how much. Now, let me give you a very practical example. I gave that to the press before. I don't know if you're going to repeat myself. We had a colleague in the Senate, his name is Armstrong, Colorado. I wouldn't say tell a story, but it's public. What I'm about to tell you took place on the Senate floor. Very conservative man. And he gave us long lectures about the fact that just as you just your questions, yes. What about spending? Cut the spending. That'll cut the deficit or eliminate the deficit. We'll have a balanced budget. So one of his friends must have said, okay, bud, try it. Go ahead, cut it. Let's see what you can do with it. Now you've got a $613 billion overall government expenditure budget. Well, Senator Armstrong went to work. I'm sure he used the sharpest pencil and probably attached to the end of it a cutlass or a scalpel. I don't know which. But in any event, believe you me, he sliced off the fat, probably a few bones too. And you know what he came down to? $575 billion. That's the best he could do. And that cut off expenditure, a very appreciable sum, $43 billion. But it didn't eliminate the deficit, and it didn't balance the budget. And because, and I mean, he was defeated by huge votes. Why? Because if you tried to do that to New York, we'd go bankrupt. I mean, we need all the food stamps. And we need help for dependent children. Otherwise, we couldn't make it. So, I agree with you about cuts, and I'll make them. But you cannot believe that that is the key to dealing with inflation, because it's not. It's useful. If anything, it has more to do with the value of the dollar and the confidence in the dollar of the gnomes of Zurich. But, you know, they are. They're very rich bankers. But I do not see it, much desirable as it is, and I don't decry it at all, as the way in which to deal with inflation. Take one more.
One more, over quick.
Senator, I'm concerned about the rise.
think would possibly make Holtzman a loser, would you make a change?
That's a hypothetical question, which I'm not answering today or tomorrow or the next day. Because I believe I can win this thing. And I've offered myself to the people because I believe they're entitled to have the choice. And I'm going right ahead with the campaign.
But if the point came where it looked like D'Amato was a pretty certain winner and all the Jewish votes had left Holtzman and gone to you 2.5 or 3 weeks, what would happen? When you
I'll answer it when the point comes.
So you may reconsider.
I didn't say any such thing. When, as, and if I have to make any other decision, I'll make it. But I don't see any likelihood of that, whatever.
Okay, thank you.
Where are you going to be concentrating in the last few weeks, upstate or
both.
Well, do you think you
and if I had two more legs, I'd do it twice.
So you think you compete with Holtzman field operation upstate?
There's no such thing as competition in this map. You have to be yourself. I am very well known in this state. Nobody has any doubt about who I am or what I've done or what I stand for. And so my whatever I have to prove seems to have been a big degree of attention to my health and age. Whatever I have to prove my way. So it's not relevant to say, can I do better than she and what she thinks she has to do. It's the same with D'Amato, whatever he has to do. I don't know. But I will do what I think is essential to demonstrate to the people that they'll be much better served in a crisis time, which is this, by me. Considering that I bring great seniority and experience and relationships to the job, and that I'm held, and this is a fact, I'm not speaking of it pridefully, though I am proud of it, in really high esteem by the Senate. And they've all voted on that time and again.
Have a comment to say about either D'Amato or Holtzman, you never say if you talk about one, that's not get the other. I mean, that's to say that they're both equal, but there are issues that either way it's...
No, I don't, I wouldn't, I don't think that, let me put it this way, I don't wish to in any way contradict you, but I'm not conscious of always speaking of both. I have spoken about Ms. Holtzman, and I've spoken about Mr. D'Amato. I've said that as far as he's concerned, he's completely unprepared for this job. There really is nothing about it. And whatever he speaks on, it is strictly studied up stuff, places. And about me, and that he is essentially an ultra conservative. We have a dozen of them. Senate, by the way, both Republicans and Democrats. Whether it's ERA or abortion, Holtzman, I've said, and I think it's proper, has a strange lapse. She's a bright woman, and she's had some experience in the House, and she has, as I say, an amazing lapse about the national security. Whatever problem she has in her own thinking, I don't know, but and she says, for example, that she wants a strong Israel. You can't have a strong Israel unless you have militarily effective United States. And expect to give Israel, as we are this year, $2,275,000,000 in military and economic aid unless you have a strong defense for the United States. And she has a comparable problem about energy. Anything that has any connection with the use of the atom for energy, she votes against. And I don't think you can run a country on that basis.
Would you say that's Liz Holzman's only weak point?
I haven't discovered any other weak points so far, but I'm sure there are. And after all, it takes a campaign to get to know a person. And I haven't known Ms. Holzman very well, though she's in the other body. And I have learned some things about her, too, which interested me greatly. Anything else?
Who's going to win New York on the presidential level?
I think it's too close to call. We may see a trend in the next week or two. Right now, I'd call it too close to call.
Why do you support Reagan?
I support Reagan because I think the country is not going to be moved to do better, and we've got to do better, without a change at the top. Now, whether that's because the president is unlucky or incompetent or half of both, that's the fact of life. Or have you got one to the left that's credible?
I can throw out a cliche on Anderson.
Well, it is a cliche because the Anderson, who is a very estimable man, by the way, an old friend of mine, Anderson doesn't have a front or a back. If you want to govern, you have to have machinery. You've got to have people from cabinets. You've got to have people in Congress. I mean, one nice guy isn't going to do it. So I don't think the American people have set it up to leave as yet the two-party system. Whether that's ever desirable or not, we don't even have to debate. We're just not ready to do it.
That's interesting coming from a man who's now on the Liberal Party ticket.
Well, that the man, after all, tried to get on his party ticket. So you've got to give him an A for effort. And even on the Liberal Party ticket, the Liberal Party was told very clearly by me when I took their nomination that I'm a Republican and I'd remain one. And if I'm elected, I will join the Republican caucus and retain my seniority and everything else that's very important to this state. Well, thank you all very much. This is my congressional district.
Uh-huh.
And we lived at 450 Riverside. I went to Columbia years ago for courses to equip me to go to law school. Business school was a good place to launch the my economic program. That's how that went. It's just, you know, you're sure of an audience and an intelligent audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good place. It was a good location for this particular thing.
How about as far as votes go?
Well, I think that virtue of this launching it there is the media and the newspapers. And no vote content minimum.
Did you have much success this morning? You said that you
didn't
make this.
I did. I raised some money this morning.
Is there a way of measuring that?
No. Checks. Oh, there's no way. We did raise some money.
small citizens in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. There is some Liberal Party structure in Western New York, but it certainly isn't, you know, organized on a county level.
We already had a citizens committee here in New York and one up in Albany and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're putting them together around the state. And they'll be Republican. Ted Curtis is a Republican. Well known.
And Columbus Senator?
Yeah, I think that's the best. They have had to, because they're running, you know, lots of people, they've reverted to the Republican orthodoxy in this particular campaign, on this particular office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're friends of mine, and I always will. Is that
WCBS also came out with an editorial for us. Radio.
It's not a bad idea, Tom, but I think it's the middle of the afternoon.